Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And He loves you.
That says that there's about 1,500 words that the woman has to get rid of more than a man during the day in order for her to feel good at the end of the day.
Dr.
Gray, you think that's the truth?
So at the end of the day,
the man has to kind of quiet down, and the woman still has about 1,500 words that she needs to get rid of for her to quiet down.
That's right.
And so I'm just, yeah, that Adam has quieted down. And
kept the conversation going.
And so because
she struck up this conversation, or Satan struck the conversation with her, and let's get into the conversation, see this conversation. You know, so Adam, he's in the picture, but Eve still got something to say. Let's go to Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Right? Now here she goes. Here she goes. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now she done added something to what God said. If you go back to Genesis 2 and you look at verse 17, it doesn't talk about anything about touching it. It says, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, in verse 3, chapter 3, she puts the word touch it in there.
For emphasis.
Uh-huh. She has some more words to get rid of.
She has some more emphasis.
To get rid of medicine. She needed to get rid of some words, so she said he got to touch it. But Adam, he didn't calm down. He should have jumped in. It was his responsibility to jump in to say, baby, you got it a little bit wrong. This is what he said. He didn't say that. But he's being trifling, sitting somewhere, not doing, you know, what he's supposed to do.
Amen.
The woman's running her mouth.
Hello.
Is there nothing new under the sun?
Come on.
Is there nothing new under the sun?
Come on.
Sister Juanita, is there nothing new under the sun? Sister Randolph, is there nothing new under the sun?
Hello.
And he over there letting her run the show. She thinks she run the show.
Uh-huh.
And then it goes down, and this is the key where God really wants us to stay focused, Sheila Jean. I don't understand why we don't do it, is that Satan says God's a liar, and he's telling the truth. Why do we do that? Why do we believe Satan more than we do God?
That's because we trust our flesh instead of the spirit.
Trust the flesh instead of the spirit. And there are three things that we looked at on last week that get us in trouble, and that's in 1 John, the second chapter, verse 16. We'll ask Dr. Gregor, can you get that for us?
Okay, what is that? 1 John?
1 John, the second chapter, verse 16. It talks about the three things that gets everyone in trouble. Got Adam and Eve in trouble. It's going to get us in trouble. Still getting us in trouble. And it also, you know, lets us know that, you know, there's some things that are not of God, but are of the world. And when we look at those things, we'll see it's still relevant today that we're not getting it right.
That was 1 John chapter 2.
Verse 16.
16.
Mm-hmm.
All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world.
In other words, the three things that got Adam and Eve in trouble was the lust of the flesh,
mm-hmm.
the lust of the eyes, mm-hmm. and the pride of life. And when we look at this, if we go back to Genesis 3, and we read down to verse 4, it says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. And verse 5 says, for God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. In other words, Satan sold her the fact that God was trying to hold something back on you.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody ever known God to hold anything back on
you? No.
Sheila G., you ever known God to hold anything back on you?
No.
So who holds back?
We hold back.
We hold back.
Again, trusting in the flesh and not in the spirit. So we get it in our mind that, no, God doesn't know what we do. We think we need to help God out.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know what he's doing.
And here, Satan is telling this big old lie that God's trying to hold something back and he don't want you to know what he knows. And so here in verse 6 where everybody falls, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was pleasant to the eyes, that's the lust of the eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a tree to be desired to make one wise, that's mm-hmm. the pride of life, right?
Pride of life.
And did eat, there it was. Now, where was her husband? Dr. Gregory, where was her husband? It says it right there in the Word.
Yeah, both of them said that, and her husband with her.
With her. In other words, it was right there.
And he did eat.
And they also. So I was telling Johanna last week, you know, he didn't have to go there. He just said, baby, I love you.
But
you're going to die.
And I have another rib.
And I got another rib. But he went down. He went down. And in verse 7, it says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made aprons. And so what happened was they died spiritually, and they now had an understanding of the knowledge of good and evil. And so now a responsibility that they should have never really gotten in touch with, that they now are succumbed to it, because now they have a sense of something that they weren't supposed to see. And that's what I tell people about this world that we live in. We have natural senses, but there's things that are outside of our natural senses that we're not supposed to see. If we did see them, it'd scare us to death.
Or we wouldn't believe it.
If we saw the
spiritual realm
mm-hmm.
that out here, well, principalities of power that we're not supposed to see, it would scare us to death.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be scared to come outside.
Right.
Because there's spiritual wickedness in high places, but God has only made us with five senses that we can see, we can hear, we can see, we can smell, we can taste, and we can touch.
Right.
But there's a spiritual realm out there that we can't see with our five senses. And so what happened is there was a realm with the tree of knowledge of good and evil that humans weren't supposed to get involved with.
Right.
God said, don't touch that tree of knowledge of good and evil because it's going to mess you up. And so what happens is now we have the burden of choosing between good and evil. And the only way we could do it is when we were in the right relationship with God. But because they sin and we fail, now we don't have the capacity, except for the spirit that God has given us,
mm-hmm.
to make those right choices now.
Right.
So they were short. Once they did that, they were short. In other words, they didn't have the capacity to make the right decisions anymore. They were short. They didn't choose anymore. In other words, when we're under the power and the penalty of sin, we serve sin.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have the power not to serve sin anymore.
Right.
So what they lost is they lost their relationship, their righteous relationship with God, where they didn't know anything about the power and the penalty of sin.
They lost their innocence.
They lost their innocence.
Mm-hmm. Well, Doc, here's the question.
Go ahead.
Because, the preachers, pastors, we often get this question asked. Okay, if God put the tree in, he put man and woman there, and the serpent,
mm-hmm.
did he know that they would be tempted, and did he know that woman would be deceived? And if he did, why did he let it go on?
Why did he let it go? Jessica. Let Jessica answer. Jesse. Speak to the mic.
I think he let it happen because he wanted them to see. Like he knew that it was going to happen, so he let them see. So he let it happen because everybody makes a mistake, and he wanted to get in line. Oh.
He wanted to see what happened. Anybody else?
Why did he?
Like, why did God let it happen?
Mm-hmm.
Why did God let it happen?
Well, I think God let it happen because even though he knew what was going to happen, because he's an all-knowing God, but he wanted to, I guess, let mankind know that they will fall but they will have a place to come back to in him.
Anybody else?
Anybody else? Well, I think even back then, we still had free will, choice. God has never said, made us to be under his thumb. He's always wanted us to have free will and to choose. And maybe there was a part of us thought maybe we choose right, but obviously, you know how we always think the best of our children.
Can we get this mic, please?
Because he was testing us to see if we were to be trusted. Because man is not to be trusted. It was a test. It's to find out. He knew. He knows everything. But he points, how he thinks, what he sees. And after it happened, it proves his point.
Okay.
That man is weak. Man not to be trusted. Man, you test your faith, your belief. They didn't believe it. That's why they did it.
They did not believe God.
You got another hand back there.
I just have a thought. I think it all boils down to God wanted to know whether or not we were going to obey him. I think obedience was very important when they were in the Garden of Eden. Because he had already given Adam the commandment of what to do. And so it was up to Adam, which he did pass it on to Eve. So God wanted to see and make sure if they were going to adhere to what he had told Adam or if they were going to be disobedient and do what they wanted to do.
That's right. We always think that we know better than God.
Well, it even goes beyond that. Saying that when God create something, whether a man messes it up, if he's not going to change, because the Bible teaches us that God is not a changing God, that when he creates something, it is good in the beginning, but it did not become messed up until man sinned. So that once the creation process was already in gear, God knew what was going to happen.
That's right.
But all that took place was for mankind. I mean, the Bible teaches us that we were created in his image and likeness, and we were created a little bit higher than the angels. So,
a little bit lower,
but we were created in that image. And so we are the ones that had to be chosen. We were going to do. But the creation process had already been started. And if he had changed, then we would have been nothing but more little robots.
Right,
and that's
right.
not what he wants.
Right, and so, you know, the ability for God to know this also has a layer of it where the principalities that heard him say, if he ate of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, that he would surely die. And as soon as when they ate it, all the principalities say, well, why aren't you gonna kill him? There's justice out there that's demanding that they should die. And so God also wanted to show the principalities, the rulers of the universe, that his love was able to be presented to, reveal himself to them, that they would love him on their own free will. In other words, they would when the more God revealed himself to them, the more they would love him, and that he would love them by showing his love, that they would love, we would love God without having our arms twisted.
Amen.
And so, you know, sin brought terrible things into this world. We talked last week about how that the rose, when it was beautiful in its early existence, was cursed now with thorns. The most beautiful, one of the most beautiful things on earth. It smells good, the petals are soft, it's beautiful to your eyes. But if you go and grab it in its natural,
it'll hurt you.
It's going to pluck you and cause you to bleed. So this is what we wanted to get to from last week. We want to get the consequences of what happened and see how God dealt with this. See how the man's going to try to squirm out of it. Lord have mercy. How many you know that there's nothing new under the sun, and man is still trying to squirm out of the mess.
Hello.
And blame who?
Somebody else.
And even blame God.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let's go to chapter 3, verse 8. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Now, that always blew me away, Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Gregory. How in the world, and this is just God is beyond our finding out, his voice was walking. And y'all think about that for a second. Have you ever seen a voice walk?
No.
Have you ever heard a voice walk?
No.
That's just how awesome. There's certain things in God's word that jumps out at me, Dr. Gregory. Mm-hmm. It's like, how in the world? Let me read that again. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. In other words, God's voice is walking. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of God, like they can hide from God. Have you ever thought you could hide from God like God wasn't going to see what you was doing? God ain't going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
God ain't going to see it. I just do it just one time. He ain't going to see it.
And folks believe that today.
Now, he's the one that created us.
Right.
He said, if you make your bed in hell, what? He's there. If you make it in heaven, he's there. So God is everywhere at the same time. So they can't hide from God. So God asked them a crazy question. In verse 9, God says, and the Lord God, because he knew the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are thou? By the way, where are you, boy?
Mm-hmm.
But I love this, Dr. Gregory and Sheila T, is because he didn't call Eve.
Uh-uh.
No.
See, everybody talk about Eve.
Amen.
But he didn't call Eve.
Uh-huh.
No, he didn't call Eve. Why? Because he didn't give the command.
He gave the command
Amen.
To Adam.
See, he gave it to Adam.
That's right.
So. God is saying, you're not getting off, buddy.
Right.
And you know, all the guys, Eve hadn't eaten the fruit. If Eve hadn't eaten the fruit, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
No, you were there with her, and God had gave you the command. So there's a certain responsibility that the man has.
Right.
And the reason why you don't have men in the church, Sheila D,
mm-hmm.
is because the enemy knows that if you can get the man to go south,
come on there.
Nothing's going to go right.
That's right. That's right. It's very important. Because the man is supposed to lead.
Supposed
to lead. And what is happening, the woman has stepped up to lead, but that's doing a dual role.
Mm-hmm.
And God really wanted us to have each of our roles to walk together.
Mm-hmm.
But he was ultimately responsible. It's not unlike when you're on your job, like your manager, supervisor.
That's right.
If the staff messes up,
mm-hmm.
they come to you.
That's right.
They don't come to them. Now you'll turn around like he did. Well, mm-hmm. you'll say that to your staff, but ultimately you're the one that's responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so he didn't let Adam escape from it. And that's why the men are so lacking in the church, because we get distracted and we don't hold up to our responsibility, and then everything doesn't go the way it's supposed to go. And then we have the nerve to get an attitude with the woman.
Mm.
Yeah.
You would be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
No, you wouldn't be surprised. Now, how many men say their household is messed up because they're white?
Mm-hmm.
But who is supposed to get and take the word, apply it to their lives, and then share it with their family?
So the family is supposed
to be together, because the man takes God's word, applies it to his life, shares it with his family, and then that's how that family is walking in the order that God wants.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's sitting back, not doing the word himself, finding fault,
mm-hmm.
and not carrying the word out himself, then you're going to have a problem. Same thing in the church.
Amen.
He's women taking over the church.
Mm-hmm.
Women, they ain't not supposed to be doing this. They're not doing it. But where are you at?
Amen.
That's a very interesting point. About 3 weeks ago, I was invited to an ordination at St. Paul's.
Okay.
And they ordained 6 women preachers.
Isn't that fun?
And Pastor Williams, who's been around for a long time, was one of the first ones to ordain 2 women,
mm-hmm.
said that when he ordained those 2 women way back in the 80s, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
or the 70s,
yeah.
that they kicked him out of the minister conference in D.C.
Yeah.
But, you know, his thing was, You guys are doing it.
Nope. Men aren't stepping up.
And God wants us to use whatever venue that we need to get his word out.
Exactly. And here, God is telling the man, this is the message we got to get out, Dr. Gregory, is that if women fill up the church, the man is still responsible. He's still head.
Amen.
He still has a obligation and a responsibility and the authority and the power to be able to lead.
But you know what, Doug, what blows my mind is that on one side of the coin, you've got these men who are not doing anything. They're not being men.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the other side of that, you've got these chauvinists out here who want women to be their slaves.
Right.
They want to rule over them like they're the lord and master, the king. But yet, here, it shows that the man was responsible.
Yes.
And again, you go back to the beginning, where was he when the woman ate? He was sitting down
right
there doing whatever he was doing, and the woman gave unto her. And so we've got this whole thing in this authority over them,
mm-hmm.
but yet they don't want to do anything.
Step up to the responsibility.
Step up. And so it's the same old thing again, and that's something that really blows my mind.
Yeah, and what the men do is what we talked about last week, is he left her exposed to
right.
the enemy. And when the man is not stepping up and being the leader in his household, the priest of his home, he leaves his family exposed to the enemy. And so when they're exposed to the enemy, Satan will come in and deceive and mess up and manipulate any kind of way he is. If he's not standing up praying over his family, praying over his children, his wife, setting an example, then he's leaving them exposed
mm-hmm.
to any attack because they're not prepared for the attack of the enemy. He should be teaching. First of all, he should be living the example.
Amen.
Then he should be teaching them. So when these attacks come, they're prepared to do battle, but they leave them exposed to the enemy. But that's not going to stop God from
right.
holding him responsible.
Hello.
Right.
Hello. And that, too, I'm not trying to cut you off for the chivalry, but with that whole thing, so when the man is not going to do, as
mm-hmm.
you said, Sheila, God will use whoever is there who's willing.
His plan is going to go
on. And most times, it's the women.
Mm-hmm.
The women have been the ones that have held the church together going back way when.
And
here we are, 21st century, they're still doing it. But yet, the men get mad.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Off the wall stuff. Go ahead, Sheila G.
Now, I was just going to make the point that it's not that the attack won't still come, even
right.
if the man is leading his family, walking in Christ with everyone. The thing is when the attacks come, he can better prepare himself as well as his family to be able to deal with it and ward off the enemy.
Right.
And like a lot of times people will give up and not go to church because they're like, well, when I go to church, I still have problems.
Mm-hmm.
You're still going to have problems. We're not saying your problems are going to go away. God, being in God's word helps you to deal with those problems.
Right, exactly. And so let's get into some of the juicy stuff now. Y'all ready for some of the juicy stuff? See, I tell people all the time, God's word is better than any of those
Amen.
Soap operas and stuff
Amen.
That you get on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some juice in it. Let's go get some of this juice now.
Amen.
And in verse 11, here comes my man. Here comes my man. Verse 11. And he says, oh, let's go back to verse 10. He says, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked myself. This is Adam talking. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee, and thou shouldest not eat? So in other words, God is telling him, he's like, who told you was naked?
Come on.
Who told you messed up?
Mm-hmm.
Who told you had problems?
Right.
Who told you this wasn't right?
Mm-hmm.
Adam just stepped in.
And then that God lets you know when you
mess up. You know, people always say, well, God knows when they mess up, that God knows my heart.
And that's a shame because he does.
And he does.
Stop
he does.
He knows exactly.
And he said, who told you were naked? In other words, God said, I created you.
Mm-hmm.
Where you didn't have the guilty conscience that being unclothed mm-hmm. was a problem.
Amen.
But when you got that tree of good knowledge of good and evil, you stepped in a whole mess of stuff.
Right.
See what I'm saying? God always tries to prevent us from stepping into a mess. But when we step into it, it's like opening up a can of worms.
Right. A little bit of knowledge.
But it's the thing of when everybody was born into this world, we weren't born with a stitch of clothes on.
That's right.
Not a stitch of clothes on. And when it gets hot outside, what's the first thing we want to do?
Put
it on. Try to get cool. Stay comfortable, right?
Right.
Because we weren't born with it. Right. But sin causes us to put clothes on.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's the juice right here. Here it is. Man. This is man's M.O.
Come on.
This is his modus operandi. This is him right here. He going to blame the wife and God
and
for
God.
His problem.
And God.
Let's look at this in verse 12. Genesis 3:12. It says, in the... I'm almost embarrassed to read.
Hello.
Remember when he was in chapter 2 talking about everybody got somebody but me? Everybody got somebody but me. I done named the elephants and the giraffes and the birds and everybody got somebody but
uh-huh.
me. And then when he gave it, he was like, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Yeah, she's a, you know. Now he cried for that woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
And threw her under the bus. She told God that she was defective.
He said, the woman that God gave to me with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat.
He gave me of the tree.
So it's in other words, God, that woman that was defective that you gave me, you gave me a defective woman, and she twisted my arm,
and made me eat.
I think what's up with that? Help me out. Sheila G, what's going on right here?
Got to blame somebody. If can't
not,
take the blame.
Not taking responsibility.
Uh-huh. And we're still doing it.
Exactly.
What is going on?
We don't want to take
the woman.
Responsibility. He was blaming the woman and God.
Yeah.
Because he begged for the woman. God gave you this gift. You know, it's like if I were to give you a car and you wrecked it, and you blame it on the car.
Yeah.
Because you're the one who ran it.
But I drove it into the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
But that still happens today. Excuses. It would have been better for him to have stepped up and said, you know what, God, I messed up.
That would have been too much like right.
Yeah, it's almost embarrassing to see the man do the same thing. It's almost embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear from the audience what they think about this thing. Yeah. What do you think about man's excuse?
Huh. Mr. Vi, what do you think about man's excuse?
Well, life experiences, he always has to be right all the time. You know that.
Very good point.
And
watch this to do.
And he has a male image to keep up.
Mm-hmm. That ego.
That ego. And if he is not right, and when he does do something wrong, you can best believe he's going to blame someone else for his fault.
Exactly. And that starts even when they're young boys. They start that early
mm-hmm.
on. Men never want to take responsibility of their actions. They always want to pass the buck. And, of course, the woman is going to always be wrong. She's never going to be right. And I always say excuses are useless.
Amen.
So, you know, there's no need for excuses. If you've done something, just admit that you've done it.
That's right.
And say, I've messed up, Lord.
That's right.
Forgive me and just keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said it would have been better for him to have done that and said, you know what? I know you told me not to do it. I sat right here and allowed her to do it.
On my part, I don't really think men have excuses. Like I said, this thing going on way back. And it still is now, like I said, in the church.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
always been to the point the woman's going to step up and do whatever needs
oh,
to run the church.
Oh,
man, when you know, when you try to do it, then the man will come and say, you know, they'll come and try to help. But then, like I say, next week you're gonna see them. So you might well keep on doing what you're doing.
That's it. That's it. He said they're gonna do it 1 week, and then the next week they're not gonna.
Next week you're not gonna see him anymore. You know, there was a phrase that we used to use when I was in college. It was one of the fraternities, and it said, "Excuses are the tools of the enemy. Those who use them will never amount to anything."
That's right. Now, with all that being said, you know they were gonna jump all over that. they're gonna ride with that.
Come on.
But God saw that there were three entities involved with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So in verse 13, he deals with the woman. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
He deals with the woman. It says, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done?" And so the fellas have a tendency to blame folk, but what the women also have a tendency to blame folk too.
Amen.
Human nature.
In verse 13, the second part of verse 13, it says, "And the woman said, What?
The serpent deceived me.
And I did eat. In other words, it wasn't her fault either.
The serpent made it.
It was the devil. Flip Wilson, I'm telling my age now. The Flip Wilson used to say the devil made me do it. Oh, that verse. I'm telling my age.
I remember.
You remember Flip Wilson?
Yes, I do.
Oh, my goodness. And you see, that's in our makeup. In our makeup to say that, you know, when we disobey God, we won't blame everybody and their brother for disobeying God.
But God knows our heart.
Yeah, and Jeremiah says it's desperately wicked.
Exactly. So you may as well fess up.
Right.
And confess.
Right.
And ask for forgiveness.
Exactly. And it's crazy. I really don't understand, you know, why people can't see these three things that keep bringing us down. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
Mm-hmm.
Those three things will get us in trouble. If you ever looked around at anything that you've done where you sinned, it's one of those three things.
Yeah.
If you looked around at anybody else did, it's one of those three things.
Man.
You can go to the highest office of president, the president ever did anything, it was one of those three things.
Yeah.
If your wife did it, it's one of those three. Your kids, mm-hmm. it's one of those three things.
Right.
Ah. The flesh
mm-hmm.
and pride will bring you down, will
Amen.
Bring us down every time.
Pride is
and you
big
know, that's
one.
Why the Bible teaches those in Romans. It says, "Be not conformed to this world,
yes, sir.
But
yes,
be
transformed
by the renewing
mm-hmm.
of your mind."
Right.
And that's a daily thing we got to do.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
when you wake up in the morning, your mind is already messed up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Talk about a little bit on Sunday. We want to complain. Folks complain about everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right off the bat.
Right off the bat. So we
yeah.
have to, you know, we have to be transformed daily.
Mm-hmm.
And this
absolutely.
Is a growing day in and day out thing. Because if we don't, the enemy will sneak in.
Exactly. And daily thing. That's why it's important for us to study the word.
Yeah.
That's why people look at the leaders of the church and they look at them sideways when you say we need to go to Bible study, we need
mm-hmm.
to study the word. And you know, a lot of people don't respond to it because they don't understand the need to study the word on a regular basis. And you know, the enemy says, as long as I can keep you from learning that word, studying that word and applying it to your life, he says, you can quote it back and forth.
Yeah.
But if you learn how to apply
live it.
That's when he's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to do here with this Bible study. There's no nothing new under the sun. Is to apply it to your life. By you know, new birth and heart of God, we're you know, encouraging our churches, our members to come out a new day, a new style of Bible study, and learn how to apply this to your life. Because that's the tool of the enemy. If he can keep you from applying this word or making it practical in your everyday life, like Pastor Gregory is saying, then he's got you.
Right.
He's got you. You can come and worship all day long.
Exactly.
You come on Sunday and worship all day. He 2 hours. You're going to worship about 2 hours on Sunday.
Amen.
Amen.
That's gonna be it.
And then Sunday afternoon to next Sunday, you ain't going to live nothing.
Nope.
Yeah. And I know I messed that English up. Yeah, I know there's some English scholars out there.
That's all right.
But come Sunday, we'll not leave anything.
Hello.
Better
right,
the other
right,
way.
Right. I know there's a double negative. I went over the double negative. Ain't going to live, no. Yeah, that's double it. But you're not going to live anything.
Right.
Because that's what the enemy said. Yeah, I'm going to let them go worship on Sunday. Go ahead and worship on Sunday. But Sunday afternoon, they'll be cussing this one out. They'll be lying. They'll be in a fight with this one.
Amen.
They won't be living anything. They'll be the cause of Christ.
Right.
As soon as they walk out of church.
As soon
as
they walk out of church.
There was a study this week that came out. You may have seen it, that the researchers have determined that people are less religious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Less religion now than in the past. But again, once you study God's word, it's not so much the
religion. Right.
Then you'll want to come together on those 2 hours plus live your life.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Most people are bedside Baptists. They just stay home on Sunday.
Right.
But if you don't get that, then you're not reading the word to carry get the whole package. Everybody wants a little bit of this and a little bit
of
that.
Right.
But to get the full package, it's not just Sunday, but it's also getting into this word. Then you'll have a desire to want to come on Sunday.
Yeah.
And with that too, you know, that's why I commend community pastors. See, you know, we have to get out of that old traditional way of thinking.
Right.
This is the 21st century, and to reach people whatever methods we have, if it's something like this, the airwaves, technology, whatever, to get that word in them. Because Sunday between 11 and 1 is just not enough.
And
we're not going to come out to a Bible study or to a prayer service.
Mm-hmm.
So you do what you have to do.
That's right. So what we want to do is we want to look down at what's going on with the service. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at what God. Man, he talked to woman, and now he talks to the serpent.
Mm.
So God's not gonna let anybody get away.
Get away with it.
He's not. He's not gonna let anything or anybody get away.
But we think we can.
We think we can.
But it is not gonna happen. So if you look down at verse 13, verse 14 rather, Genesis 3:14. It says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.
Mm.
Now, here's another one of these things, Sheila G., that like when it said the voice of God walking in the garden.
Mm.
What was the serpent doing before he was on his belly?
Hard to imagine because we only see him on his belly.
What was he doing before that?
He must have been upright. A walking snake.
What?
I'm just saying. He was a walking snake. He was walking upright. And if you notice now, it's mostly women that are afraid of snakes than
men. Is
that
right? but what was Pastor Gregory? What was he doing?
Don't really know because the Bible doesn't get into all the specifics of what the serpent was, but it tells us that go back to says that the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field.
Mickey.
Right.
The cunningness and all of that back then.
Right.
But we can only imagine that he had
upright.
Curse on boys.
And he's on his belly now.
Yeah.
So those are the things that are not written out in the Bible. It makes you go,
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how the Lord's voice could walk in the cool.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what the serpent was doing before he was on his
belly.
You know, those are just some things, mm-hmm. but don't get caught up in all those things. Get caught up is that God's not going to let anybody
escape. Anything. Eventually,
you're not going to be able to escape. You're not going to be able to escape. And so when you go here, now he's getting ready to dole out. He's getting ready to dole out the punishment.
That's why they were hiding. They knew they were going to be punished.
He's getting ready to dole out the punishment. You ever been to a point where you knew your father was going to come home
mm-hmm.
and you was going to get it?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody ever been there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anybody
yeah.
ever been there? Yeah. Anybody ever been there? You was going to come home and you knew you was going to get it.
Right. That's why they were hiding. They knew. They were
and they was hiding because they knew they was get it. And so when you
and
they blame it and so here comes our father. Everybody say our father.
Our father.
Here comes our father.
Mm-hmm.
Our father is going to take care of business. But the thing that I love about this that. After he dealt with Satan, he gave Satan punishment out first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
God didn't throw us to the curb.
Nope.
No.
I'm going to run around the church.
Hello.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We didn't lie.
If God wasn't a loving God, he would have just gave up on us right
Amen.
There.
Dead. Amen.
But he didn't love us. He loved us. He didn't take us to the curb.
Right.
Lord have mercy. Everybody should be running outside.
Come on.
Everybody should be running up and down the church.
Did
God
die.
Didn't leave you in a sin sick state.
Amen.
Right.
Because we weren't fit to die
uh-uh.
and weren't fit to live. So what did God do? In verse Genesis 3:50, if you don't ever remember any other verse, this is where God drew the line in the sand
Amen.
Between good and evil,
All
between
right.
Satan and him,
mm-hmm.
so that he could redeem us back. To the right relationship that he had, what we had that we lost.
Mm-hmm.
Look what it says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, there's a battle. You know the song, Got the Devil Under My Feet?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a battle that Satan strikes at Jesus' heel, and Jesus stomps at his head, and he strikes back. To get there, and he stomps at his heel, and he strikes, and it's a battle back and forth. But eventually, he's going to stomp that joker's head out.
Right.
Amen. But there's a
mean.
Battle. There's a battle where he strikes, and
mm-hmm.
he's going to bruise you. He's trying to take him out. He's stomping. It's a battle back and forth. But it's a line that's drawn. So when he drew that line in the sand, he said, I will put enmity between the woman and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, God didn't leave us out there. He said there's going to be a battle between good and evil, and ultimately good is going to prevail, and mankind is going to be put back into the right relationship with God. That is something to shout about.
Mm-hmm.
That God won't leave you in a lost, hopeless state.
That's right.
The hand of grace was extended,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Gregory, even right there. We talk
right
about
there.
Grace in the New
Testament.
Testament. The hand of grace has been extended since man has sinned in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's been reached out there. God didn't wait for us to come to him.
Nope.
He came to us.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
thank you,
did.
Jesus. He came to us.
Mm-hmm.
He reached out to us. Now, if we were God, we would say, y'all just need
it
to go somewhere and die.
Hello. That was
lay down and die.
Amen. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
I was teasing last Sunday. I said, that's the way Pastor Gregory said. Am I right? I was teasing last Thursday. But that's where Genesis 3:15 drew the line. But here goes Eve, all the women that ever suffered
woman.
With women's problems.
We were just talking about them today.
With women issues.
Jessica, you hear this?
Women issues. Now before...
Listen to this.
The sin in the garden, before she ate of that fruit, Sister Johanna. Amen. She was calling it the apple last week. adding them words. She was adding the words. And her husband added it up. Yeah. So it says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly greatly. Anybody ever had childbirth without any issues?
No.
Without any issues?
No.
No.
He said, multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And this is the part that wears me out.
Come on.
He says, and thy desire shall be to thy
husband.
And he shall have rule over
it. And you know what? I got to say something about
that. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I have to say something about it because it is the truth. God had to put something in front of us because for us to desire our husband. Because the pain that we go through, if we didn't forget it,
they'd
be like, "Don't touch me ever again."
Right. But then
there would have been pain. It would because we had that desire. Because God did it too.
That's right.
That's punishment alone. That's punishment alone.
She blamed God. God did it too.
That was his punishment.
God did it too.
Our punishment.
You hear blaming God?
But there wouldn't have been any more.
But then go back for another baby.
It would have been pain and age.
And another baby. And he had rule over you.
And you keep doing it, and you're like, what?
And see, that part right there, too, a lot of men take that and run with it,
that's right.
And he shall rule. We don't understand that word correctly.
Right.
He's talking about be the head.
That's right. Lead.
Responsible.
Responsibility.
Responsibility, right. But he wants to neglect it. And then he gets over to Brother Adam.
Oh, Brother Adam.
Brother Adam. And Brother Adam, he got something to come to him.
Huh.
In verse 17, it says, unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife.
Mm. Hello.
Right? And hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded. Now, this is the part that gets you. He said, who did he command? He didn't command the snake. He didn't command. And who did he go to?
Adam.
The man.
And he still
so the bottom line is, he commanded what? The man. Am I right?
That's right.
He commanded the man. So all of the stuff and all of the drama that went down, it still falls back on what?
The man.
Because he got the commandment what?
Bird. Got to do it.
He got the responsibility. And the thing we've been talking about responsibility for the ability, the responsibility, but God also gives us the ability to handle the responsibility.
That's right.
So in other words, we're equipped to handle what a man is supposed to handle. The woman is not equipped to handle what a man is supposed to handle. She's supposed to be the helpmeet to help him meet the responsibilities that he has.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not supposed to take the responsibility.
That's right.
So the first thing that I hear these ladies, they go with these guys and they say, I'm going to change him. I'm going to change him. What's up with that, Sheila D? I'm going to change him and I'm going to make him the man that he needs to be.
Absolutely not. That's not going to work. That won't happen. When you're in dreamland, if you believe that.
But I'm going to take him to church with me.
Nope.
But I'm going to show him how to do it.
All you can do is pray and ask the Lord to give you the man that you're supposed to have.
But he's so fine.
And wait for him. Even
but he's
if he's
so
going to be older.
And, he's so fine.
And he's going to get old and wrinkly and he won't be as fine. No offense, honey. You got to pass that.
And he told me that he loved me.
And Satan will tell you that he loves you.
But I don't have nobody. But I don't have anybody. And everybody got somebody with me.
You got Jesus. And that should be enough. Now, he's not going to break your heart or lie to you.
Well, he only hit me once. I got another eye.
What would Jesus want you to do?
Lord have mercy.
That is our problem. We do not wait for the Lord to send us the person that he wants us to have.
That's right. That's right. I'm just kidding, ladies. I'm just kidding. But some of this stuff we've heard before.
It happens. It's true.
We've heard before.
It's true. That's the truth.
And so here's Adam, and after this, we're gonna see if my brothers keep them get warmed up. We're gonna hear from them. They in the house. And we're going to roll out of here. But verse 17 says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground what I say. And Saul, thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles, this is why I talk about the rose, shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In other words, you are cursed to hard manual
labor
for the rest of your life.
Yep.
And it says in verse 19, in sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou
shalt return.
In other words, man is going to have to work to get a living to take care of himself and his family.
Mm-hmm.
Going to have to work for the rest of his day.
That's right.
Tough. Some days you don't feel like, especially when you get older. When you want to roll over and go back to sleep, gotta go see the man.
Gotta do it.
So those are the things that happen as a result of sin. Is my brother keeping ready? Y'all ready? Are you ready?
Fella?
Are you ready? They're not ready yet. So they're gonna have about 5 minutes to play. Here they come. Shaking the sleep out there. They got the fried chicken, throwing the microphone on the floor, everything. But we're gonna pick up next week, and we're gonna see how God put His plan of salvation into play by going and putting the model of the shedding of blood into sin. And we're going to pick up verses 20-24 next week. And we'll see God's plan of the shedding of innocent blood, the taking of an innocent life, is God's plan for redemption or salvation or atonement for sin. All right. Well, we're going to hear my brother's keeper for about 5 minutes. And then we're going to have prayer, and then we're going to get on out of here. We thank everyone for tuning in. We thank everyone for coming out on Friday, and we want to just hear my brother's keeper for about 5 minutes, and then we're going to turn you loose. Let's hear it from my brother's keeper. Let's give them a hand as they come.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
We want to thank you all again for having us back here, for there's nothing new under the sun, and of course we first and foremost, we give all honor to God for another day, and we do thank God for all of you who are here tonight, and we do want to thank God for Pastor C, First Lady Sheila G, and also Gregory, amen. We thank God for them, amen. We know time has gotten a little ahead of us, but we're just going to do maybe one A selection and maybe half of a B one, and then we'll let you all go home. We heard y'all back there having a great discussion. Amen.
Yeah.
Talking about the enmity that God put between man and woman. Amen. So that's the thing that we all have to deal with. Amen. When we start looking for our partners or significant others. Amen. And even when we become married, understand that it's not always going to be easy, but we still got to be able to work out those differences.
That's
amen.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And this is my favorite song, the Jesus and Me loves the Jesus and you. Amen. Because we know that if you don't have any Jesus in you, you can't love anybody. Amen. When you have the Jesus in you, it makes you love people that may not love you in return. But it's okay, though. As long as you know if Jesus loves you, you'll be all right. Come on and put your hands together. So we
to the love. And this time sing it like you mean it. Come on. I said the Jesus in me. I love the Jesus in you. Come on. The Jesus in me. I love the Jesus in you. So easy. Somebody said it's so easy. So easy. It's not very hard. It's real easy. So easy. Love. Now this is what we say right here. Now if you want to love someone, you got to love yourself. And once you learn to love yourself, you love everybody else. Come on. Now if you want to love someone, you got to love yourself. And once you learn to love yourself, you can love everybody else. I said the Jesus in me. I love the Jesus in you. Come on. There's the Jesus in me. I love the Jesus in you. So easy. Somebody said it's so easy. Come on. So easy. Easy to love. One more time. The Jesus in me. I said the Jesus in me. I love the Jesus in you. I said the Jesus in me. I love the Jesus in you. So easy. So easy. So easy. Easy to love. This is what we say. Now, if you want to love someone, you got to love yourself. And once you learn to love yourself, you can love everybody else. Come on. If you want to love someone, you got to love yourself. And once you learn to love yourself, you can love everybody else. I said the Jesus in me. Come on. Say what? Come on. So easy. So easy. So easy. Come on, last time. Little love. Come on, put the hand up. Amen. Amen. This song, is anybody here that loves my Jesus? Is anybody? We're going to close with the closing remarks and prayer, but that you all get on your way. Amen. Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Anybody here that loves the Lord? Because we know can't nobody do me like Jesus. Is that right? Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Is that right? Some folks may try, but nobody do you like Jesus. Amen? Amen. Come on and put your hands together. Come on. You going to come up here and play with me? Come on. There you go. Once again, we want to thank Heart of God for having us out. We are my brother's keeper. We just trying. That's all we doing. We just trying. Here we go. Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Anybody here that loves the Lord? Is there anybody here, come on, that loves my Jesus? Anybody here that loves the Lord? I said, can't nobody, come on, do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. I said, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody. Anybody do me like the Lord? Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Anybody here? Come on, that loves. Put your hand in the air. Is there anybody here? Come on, that loves my Jesus. Anybody here that loves the Lord? Now put your hands in the air. Come on. Wave him like you just don't care. Come on. If you know that the Lord's been good to you, somebody say, oh yeah. Come on, oh yeah. Come on, oh yeah. Come on, oh yeah. Come on, oh yeah. Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Anybody here that loves the Lord? Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Anybody here that loves the Lord? I said, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. I said, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Nobody. Do me like the Lord. Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Anybody here that loves the Lord? Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Anybody here that loves the Lord? Come on. Big shout out to Miss Anaya Tambourine Mayor. Well, all right. So we want to thank my brothers, as always. We got James on the keyboard. Also, we got Brother Brandon on the keyboard. And can't forget about Brother Aaron on the drums. We are my brother's keeper. And we just come to lift up the name of the Lord, because we know that God is good. And he's worthy to be praised. Come on, is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Anybody here that loves? Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Anybody that loves the Lord? I say, can't nobody say what I do. Jesus, can't nobody do me like the Lord. I say, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody. Come on, do me like the Lord. Come on, and now put your hands in the air. Come on, even from side to side. And if you know the guy Jesus Christ in your life, somebody say, all right. Come on, all right. Come on, all right. Come on, all right. Come on, all right. Hey, anybody up, praise the Lord. Come on, put your hands up. Hey, hey, anybody come praise the Lord. Come on, put your hands up. Hey, hey, anybody come praise the Lord. Come on, put your hands up. Hey, hey, anybody come praise the Lord. Come on, put your hands up. Is there anybody here? Jesus, anybody here that loves the Lord? Is there anybody here that loves my Jesus? Anybody here that loves the Lord? Come on, give him some praise. Come on, come on, give him some praise. Come on.